Ask the Mayor Public Affairs Program. And back from New York, the wonderful anniversary that you have with Sally in New York City.
It's always great to be in New York, Steve, and we had a great time. Went to a Broadway play, went and visited some art galleries, and everything was just wonderful.
You art people, you. Our drought, serious conditions here with 14 inches of rain needed just to catch up.
At the time of this broadcast, we're receiving a small amount of rain, and I know at the beginning of the week, there's a forecast for more rain. That's good, but it's not going to be enough. And I talked with our fire chief before coming in to do the recording of this program. That was his assessment, too, that it will help in the short term with the danger of wildfires and so forth. But we could go back to the same situation and concerned about wildfires in just a matter of days if we don't get more rain. I struggle with pollen all during the spring, and that certainly will help that. But we need a foot, 14, 15 inches of rain over the next several months to break this drought. We'll be monitoring the situation as best we can.
The drought is expanding in western North Carolina, northeastern Georgia, most of Georgia now, and the upstate.
Chief Gearhart and I were discussing those massive fires in South Georgia over near the coast, and we're talking about fires that will burn 5,000 acres just in the blink of an eye. The chief was talking about those tall, beautiful pines. When they catch on fire with an intense fire, they're just like a blowtorch, sending heat, fire, and smoke into the atmosphere. And he was saying that we might start getting this smoke effect from those Georgia wildfires in the coming days. If people start seeing kind of hazy and smoky areas, more than likely it's coming from the fire situation in Georgia.
What's the state of our surface water, close to water conservation?
We are monitoring the situation, and we're on the verge of implementing water restrictions. In those stages, the first stage is voluntary, and then if the drought doesn't break, then it becomes mandatory, to where things like watering yards would come into play. But we're not there yet. We depend on surface water from rain to collect in our lakes, such as Lake Sequoia. That is a critical factor in us being able to provide water. We invested over $1 million in a water intake at Lake Sequoia about 10 years ago. That really is helpful now in this type of situation. We can be pumping from that site. Then we have Big Creek. The problematic area is usually at Big Creek, right at the water plant where we have a weir and we take in water there. It gets a low water level and it doesn't function as it should. We have that $5 million project to dredge Mirror Lake, and we made that decision, of course, to focus on the channel of the river and dredge that area. I was just talking to our town manager just recently saying that is a real essential project. It will help us retain more water. That project will be getting underway in the coming months and will take some time, but it is certainly an important part of maintaining quality drinking water for the town of Highlands.
And we are very thankful that there are not any data centers nearby. Last board meeting, sir, opposing any state involvement. Yeah, controlling property tax. That seems like a given that we should be allowed to control our own destiny.
The state legislature, they're back in for the short session as of April 21st. One of their main things, I believe, is to finally pass a budget which should have been passed in the long session last year. There are a lot of agencies and components of state government that needs a new budget instead of continuing on the old budget that had been passed previously. There is a movement in the legislature to pass a bill that would create a vote for constitutional amendment to limit property tax increases from counties and municipalities. I was reading that they're talking about, with this session, putting a moratorium on property taxes being increased until they get this on the ballot and the voters vote on it. The League of Municipalities and the County Commissioners Association are both opposed to the state intervening with the towns and counties concerning their option to raise property taxes. Those increases fund critical services such as public safety, education, roads, infrastructure. We think that it is best decided by the elected representatives in the towns and the counties, and the check and balance system gets down to the local voters. If they do not like that their property tax has been increased, they have the option to vote out their local representative. I think that's the way the system should work, and the state should stay out of this area. In addition, over the last several years, the state has gotten out of the business in certain areas and have put those responsibilities on towns and counties. We call them unfunded mandates because the money doesn't come from the state to provide these services. They just say, towns and counties, you do it. And how do we do it? We have to sometimes raise property taxes. That should be the option of these local government organizations and not the state. That's my position. That's the town board's position. I hope that cooler heads will prevail in Raleigh and this referendum will go nowhere. And if it does get on the ballot, I'm sure that the League of Municipalities and the County Commissioners Association will try to educate the public on why this is a bad idea and should not be voted for.
Also, in the last board meeting, the local noise ordinance. I can just imagine people thinking that Highlands should be noise-free, but it will never be noise-free. So what kind of noise are we talking about?
Our police chief and our town attorney and others have been looking at making some modifications to the existing noise ordinance. At our town board meeting this past week, had a number of people come and speak at public comment, and I even opened the floor even during the time when we were looking at this proposal, and different speakers expressed their views. You're right, Steve, and I agree. We're not going to have a community where there's no noise. That's a part of living. We've had people call the police about children making too much noise playing in neighborhoods. My response is, that's called living in a neighborhood. You have children having a good time when they're playing. We're working on this issue. I think there are different noise level that can be expected. If you're in a residential area, yes, the amount of noise should be much lower. If you are living in a business area, I don't think you can expect the noise level to be the same as if you're living out in an R1 residential neighborhood. We'll be looking at all those issues. I know that our attorney and police chief requested to go back and kind of make some revisions based on public comment and some of the feedback from the board members. And at a certain point in time, those adjustments will be made.
About the chamber lease, a standard 5-year lease. Everybody happy with it?
I'm happy with it because we've taken this off the agenda finally. It's a shorter lease, very similar to the previous lease. In general, leases are getting more of a shorter duration because of the volatility in the economic situation, to where I think the board wanted a shorter lease period than the previous 10-year lease. Same thing with our upcoming wholesale lease for buying power for our electric grid. We don't know who the provider will be. It could be our current provider, Duke, or Georgia Power, or some other company. But we all agree that the old 20-year lease that we've been operating under will not be available anymore. The power provider will not want to make that kind of a long-term commitment given the volatility of the energy market now. We, too, do not want to be locked in necessarily in a long-term lease. So that's just the way things are now. We operate on a much shorter time frame.
We're recording this on Thursday to play back on Sunday, if I may, and you already know about this. The scheduled planning board meeting is Monday at the Highlands Community Building and beginning at 5:30 p.m. And new business, old business, UDOs will be covered.
Yeah. And Steve, that is our town planning board. And we have a new member, Daryl Griswold, will be joining the board because Bill Grubb, who was the chairman of the board, was appointed to be on the town board commission.
And I see in the Highlander on this Thursday, we're recording this on Thursday, the debate on the planning board vote, and that goes on. And we'd like to have a say. We'd like to have somebody there maybe to vote.
Not the town board. We previously had Michael Mathis, who was our zoning director, on the county planning board, along with Franklin had Justin Setzer, their zoning director. A few months ago, the county decided to reorganize their planning board and removed the representative, the voting member, from the town of Franklin and the town of Highlands. I spoke against that because I think we need to have a voice, but the county board decided that wasn't the case. They said we can have a liaison instead of a voting member.
Be careful what you ask for.
We appointed Commissioner Amy Patterson to be our liaison. Amy expressed a keen interest in being our liaison, and in fact, she went to the last county planning board member just as an observer and was really surprised that they were talking about taking up the issue of county redistricting. Commissioner Patterson has done extensive, and I mean extensive, research on this issue of voting districts. She has an opinion. She has shared it with our town board members that the current district setup, to where you have districts in the county, a large district that includes Highlands, the people elected to represent the districts are elected countywide, is not the best option and the most democratic option. And Commissioner Patterson has done research with people that study this type of thing, and they think that the best and most democratic way of redistricting is to have elections where the people in a district select their representative to the County Board of Commissioners. For example, if there was a district here on the plateau and in this area, the model that we would favor, and I support what Commissioner Patterson is saying, is that the voters of this district would elect a commissioner that then would go to Franklin, to the courthouse, and represent the voters of this district on the County Board of Commissioners. Certainly the spirit of always voting what is best for the entire county and the public should be the guiding principle, but we need, in my opinion, a voice of a commissioner that is directly accountable to the voters of this district and not to all the voters in the county. I went and spoke at a public hearing on redistricting several months ago. I was really impressed with how many people from all over the county, from all the different districts, came to that board meeting. They endorsed and supported that model too. Since then, there's been attempts to go ahead and do a quick vote on making minor modifications to the district system we have now. The people of Macon County, the voters, want a deliberate, thorough review and process, maybe bringing in experts from the Board of Elections, from the School of Government, and coming up with a model that everyone can embrace as being equitable and fair. I'm delighted that Commissioner Patterson has committed to being our liaison. She's also very concerned about other issues such as how erosion control can impact our environment. And she also believes in the idea of planning, that government agencies should be planning for future development. The board unanimously voted for her to represent the town of Highlands.
Commissioner Patterson, just to show them how it's done. All right, once again, as we started off the program here about the drought, we've got to watch out for smoke. Listen, if we may get some smoke from the Georgia fires.
What's so difficult is normally at a spring, you have the farmers who are planning. I was just reading an article about how they're in a very difficult situation because there's not enough rain to do effective planning. You've got the landscapers who have an active business, especially in the spring, but the drought will impact that. Then the tourist situation, the trout guides for fishing, all of that is impacted with this. I'm just praying and hoping that we will have a break in this weather pattern and we'll get back to normal rainfall.
Listening to Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program every Sunday at 7 o'clock and then online at WHLC.com. Go to AskMayorPat.com to give the mayor, maybe send some questions to him anytime.
That's right, anytime.